Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Bruce Feldman, who does an outstanding job for The Athletic. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Bruce, it's interesting, you know, a lot of conversation around here about quarterbacks for the Titans, which we'll get to in just a second. But, you know, the NFL Network put it out there that this is the fastest group of offensive linemen that the scouting combine has ever had. Titans have needed offensive linemen for what feels like forever at this point. So based on what you heard at the combine and some of the conversations you've had, how do you view this year's crop of offensive linemen in the draft?
You know, I think it's better than probably people were making it out to be. There's obviously a lot of talk about the D-line group and this year, but I think you have some guys. I mean, there's some big athletic guys who I think tested better than a lot of people expected they would. So I think there'll be a bunch of guys probably in the middle of the first round that will be there that I think you'll see a run on that's pretty impressive. Obviously, we know this is not, compared to last year, a very good quarterback crop. I think that is a very underwhelming group. But on the O-line side, the running back side, the tight end side, I think it's a really good draft, you know, at least from that piece. It's just because you don't have the star power and the franchise quarterbacks there, I think a lot of people are just kind of underwhelmed by this group overall.
So speaking of those quarterbacks, Bruce, and I you know, saw in your report here, you know, that, there are other guys who are possibly moving up. Jackson Dart, you know, Quinn Ewers threw the ball well, but obviously around here, everybody is concerned about, do the Titans take someone at one? It seems like the consensus is that Cam Ward has distanced himself, has helped himself. More people like him. You talk to people, more people just thought there was a gap between Ward and Shedeur Sanders. There's also some talk out there about Sanders, I guess, not helping himself, you know, in the interviews. I mean, what have you heard just about, like, you know, that aspect of this for Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, there was one coordinator I talked to who had, you know, his team met with Shedeur, and he said he thought he was sharp. And, you know, I don't know if he turned off that many people. I just think, you know, people are coming in probably going, all right, if we draft Shedeur, does it turn into a little bit of a circus? Because there was just so much of a social media push around him. You know, there was constant, just because of what his father's college football program was like. So I think there's probably been some biases when he walks in the room for some people. But from a physical talent standpoint, all the NFL people I talked to who had a strong opinion one way or the other liked Cam Ward more than Shedeur Sanders. I think one thing that probably didn't help Shedeur is, you know, people love that he played in the bowl game, in the Alamo Bowl against BYU. He just played really badly in it. And I think there was some stuff on film that, you know, some of the people who I talked to were like, oof, you know, we saw him getting run down and retreating in the game against BYU. It was not a good night for him. And I think that was the last impression people had from him from film. There's still some plenty of good things on tape that people see. But, you know, look, I think it's pretty rare for a guy who could be drafted in the top 15 where they don't have, as a quarterback, where they don't have some perceptions. And there's certainly some of that with Caleb Williams last year, you know, at the top of the draft. And I think there feels like there's always a quarterback who, you know, this kind of chatter ends up starting out there, getting out there. Again, the people I talk to didn't have a problem with how Shedeur came across in the meetings. It was more of like they just like Cam Ward better because they think he's just a more talented quarterback.
So, Bruce, sticking with the quarterbacks there, it's a fairly common occurrence that, you know, sometimes quarterbacks in the draft get taken in the first round, maybe more often, maybe a greater number of them than we think heading into a draft. So as you look at this year's draft, is there another quarterback beyond Sanders and Ward that you think could get into the first round? Is there more than one? How do you view that part of it heading into the draft?
I think the one guy who might sneak in somewhere would be Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. People love his toughness. He threw the ball pretty well in the workout on Saturday, looked very comfortable. I think there's a bunch of people who I talk to like his temperament. There's mixed with him. There's other stuff where I think people are like, there's a lot of inconsistency there. Over a lot of time in his career, also like Cam Ward, there were a big turnover issues. But I think people think he has at least as a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Tyler Shuck is really talented. He runs really well. He has really good size, really strong arm. And I don't know if this is a big knock. It's definitely a talking point around the draft world is that he's going to be 26. But I think as much as anything else is that he has an injury history, but he's definitely a guy that people think has the talent to be a starting quarterback. Those would be the two guys who I think, somebody could fall for and end up maybe moving back up into the first round to take him if you really, really need a quarterback. Again, I think Cam Ward will be a guy who will go in the top five. Maybe Shador goes there. It depends. But then this is such a weak quarterback crop. I think people could talk themselves into the other two guys who generated some genuinely good buzz with what people saw from them in Indy.
So, Bruce, you wrote about James Pierce, obviously high interest around here from Tennessee, and then Texas A&M's Shamar Stewart, both testing extremely well. Stewart has not had the production. Pierce had production, but as you wrote, maturity. There's been a lot of talk about, why is James Pierce falling down draft boards? I think our colleague Dane Brugger doesn't have him in the first round, his latest mock. What did you hear on that front, and how would you compare those two in terms of their NFL potential?
Yeah, the similarities is they're tall, long guys who are really explosive. Pierce has better film. Stewart probably, people wonder where's the production. I mean, for a guy, he's 20 more than 20 pounds bigger than James Pierce, and he is vertical jumping 40 inches and broad jumping almost 11 feet. I mean, those are insane numbers. He ran really well too. But 4.5 sacks over 37 games. I talked to multiple D-line coaches, and that came up a bunch where, yes, he's disruptive, but you still need him to make plays. With Pierce, there again, maturity was putting it probably kindly in some of the chatter you have with people in Indy. That it was just some stuff where I don't think he was getting the highest. There were some character concerns to put it mildly there, but he's a really good player. He's very talented. And I think especially at that position, there's plenty of guys in the NFL who've been kind of wild card personalities who bring a lot of value. That's just something, that's a huge need for teams. I wouldn't be surprised if he went in the first round. I also wouldn't be surprised if there are a few teams who said, you know what, we're going to pass on him just because we have some character concerns with him. But I think, again, if it's the maturity piece, you hope that he can, work through some of that because he is a really, really good football player and he's exceptionally talented. And you saw the way he ran. I mean, that's still pretty rare to see a guy running in a mid 4.4s at 6.5 plus and with some really good film on top of it.
So, Bruce, where do you come down on the Travis Hunter debate in terms of which position he'll be best at in the NFL? And in terms of receiver, how do you view this receiving class as a whole?
Yeah, I think he will end up being a longer term a defensive back and a corner because from the people I talk to who like him a lot, they think he can be a great corner or a really good receiver, and it's just harder to find great corners. And he came across great in the meetings with teams that I talked to. They really, really liked him. I mean, I have a story in the piece on The Athletic, just of an anecdote of what he told one of the coaching staffs. I mean, they came away, they went in really liking him and they loved him after that. The receiver class is not great like it was last year. I mean, you had obviously four big time receivers, the two LSU guys. You certainly had Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roma Dunze last year. I think Teteromo McMillan from Arizona has exceptional ball skills. He's 6'4 plus. He did not come across great in the meetings of the coaches I talked to. They were just kind of underwhelmed by him and kind of his vibe. But I don't think there were character concerns. They just didn't kind of love how he came across. But his film is really good. You know, there's questions about his speed. He's probably never going to run. He told some NFL teams he's not running at the combine. I don't think he's going to run in his pro day. So people are sitting there going, is he a 4.55 guy? Is he a 4.7 guy? He's probably in the maybe low 4.6s, but he has spectacular ability to make contested catches and make big plays. So I think from a talent standpoint, he's number one. A guy who helped himself probably as much as anybody overall in Indy was Matthew Golden. He ran blazing fast at sub 4.3. He is probably the best route runner in this draft. And he has really good ball skills too. He's just not very big, but I think he is a solid first round guy. After that, I mean, I think there's plenty of guys who are like, okay, we think he could make, you know, be a strong contributor. But in terms of like the Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously Ladd McConkey had a fantastic, you know, first rookie year last year for the Chargers. I mean, I think last year was a deeper group of really good receivers. But, you know, start with what you got from the big receiver from Arizona. I think he will be the guy who would probably be the first receiver taken, but I don't think this is what we had last year.
Yeah, and of course there was someone you talked to who was upset that Golden ran so well. Like, I was hoping he'd stay under the radar, but obviously that's not happening. So one of my favorite things Bruce does every year is the freaks list, and you knew that South Carolina safety Nick Emmanuori was probably going to just do some ridiculous stuff, which he absolutely did. How good of a player? He ran a 4.38 with a 43 vertical. How good of a player do you think he can be in the NFL?
I think he's outstanding. I mean, this is a guy who's a former three-star. He's 6'3", 220. That's great size. I mean, his 40 time was really good. And as somebody told me like a week or so before the combine that they were training, you know, one of the receiver coaches was training guys with Emmanuori, and he was like, he ran 4.35 last week. He's going to run great. I knew the jump numbers were going to be insane because, like you said, I had him in the freaks list last year. He was 11.6 in the broad jump, which is kind of mind blowing, the 43 inch vertical. But the other number that I think just kind of wows folks is he was tied for the fastest 10 yard split in Indy, 1.49, the fastest of anybody. And again, he's a big, big athlete. From the time he got to South Carolina, he made a lot of plays. One of the coaches I talked to, who was a DB coach in the NFL, he said he thought he was probably a late first, top of the second round guy going in. And this is a guy I know pretty well. And he kept on, you know, we kind of had back and forth about him. I'd be really stunned if he's still around in the second round, because I think he... all the stuff we had talked about on the freaks list with Emmanuori, and I feel like he's a guy, you know, Joe, you obviously in prime SEC country and everything, like, I think it's surprising for an SEC guy to kind of come under the radar. I was just kind of like would shrug my shoulders that more people weren't getting it about him until Indy. And now I think everybody knows. There are Derwin James comparisons, you know, as a box safety. I think he's probably even more than that. And obviously Derwin James had a ton of hype, you know, and buzz around him. I don't know if he's got as much range as Kyle Hamilton with the Ravens, who's, you know, even taller, runs great like Emmanuori. I mean, again, one of the coaches I talked to who's a DB coach was like, because I brought up Kyle Hamilton, he goes, I don't know if I'd go there yet. But I think he's the guy that it seems like more and more people are falling in love with.
Well, Bruce, really good information. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll react to what Bruce had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.